Like, so you had church ages that looked like that. Yeah, that, you know, people were kind of getting off into money, getting off into all kinds of things that were, you know, not what Jesus wanted us to do. He just wanted you to get your sins forgiven and love one another and bring as many people into the kingdom as possible. That's the kingdom of God. Now, that's what Jesus was busy doing in his ministry. And that's the reason he sent the Holy Ghost, so that you would do that. You know, because that way you've got the Holy Ghost 24/7. You didn't have to bother Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus would get tired. He'd get hungry, you know. He'd disappear for hours at a time, you know. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's off praying, I guess. I don't know where he's at, you know. And then all of a sudden he would turn up, and then they'd go out and hit the streets again and do some more ministry and do some more work and heal some more folks. And then, you know, they would just, and then once Jesus was going to go, they were liking this Jesus thing because he was doing all the work, right? And so Jesus doing all the work. Hey, this is great. And all of a sudden Jesus says, I'm leaving. What? Whoa, what? Whoa. We're just getting started here. You know, I thought you were going to, you know, make this kingdom thing. He said, no, that's going to be y'all. What? You know, they didn't understand that they were going to get to do the kingdom thing. Jesus was only around about 3.5 years. And he said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send this Holy Spirit guy. Who? We don't even know who that is. You know, can we feel him? Can we shake his hand? Can we give him a hug like we can do you? You know? No. He's going to live in you. He's with you, but he's going to be in you. So what happens here is that the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you, and he makes you an overcomer. He makes you an overcomer. You live in the power of God. You live in the presence of the living God, just like Jesus did. You remember when John baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he said, "This is God said out loud, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so this is Jesus being anointed by the Holy Ghost for ministry, for this 3.5 year ministry. That's Jesus getting. But of course now he's sin free. He's without sin, so he has the Holy Spirit without measure, you know. And so he's doing the ministry of the Holy Ghost during those 3.5 years. Now at the end, fast forward to the Last Supper, Jesus is talking about how the Holy Spirit is going to be coming, and he's going to replace Jesus' presence on the earth. And so that's what he's doing. And so here, when we look over at John 16:33, it's the first, and of course, you know, it's a scripture that I hearken to quite a bit, quite often. And, of course, he says in 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." So talking about how the Holy Spirit is coming and that I'm going away. Then he says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Doesn't sound like this is going to be peaceful, does it? "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have," what? "Overcome the world." So, you are in Christ Jesus. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Then he goes on to pray for them in John chapter 17. And he prays the prayer that they are going to be one with you and me and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be one together. We have oneness with God. We have oneness with the Holy Spirit. We are living in Him, with Him, through Him. And he says here that be of good cheer. I love this because he's commanding you to be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So every day we have joy. Every day we have rest. Every day we have peace because I have overcome the world. Amen? So powerful. You know, later on over in 1 John, you know, 4:4, where he says, is that you are overcoming the world. Is that God is in you and he is overcoming the world. Now the word overcome is nikao, And it means simply to conquer, to carry off the victory. That's good. I like that. To carry off the victory. You got the, you're carrying it off the field. Victorious over all of his foes of Christians that hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. And when one is arraigned or goes to the law to win the case, to maintain one's cause. So you are an overcomer. And that's what we want to talk about today. Because overcoming is not just a one-time event. It's not just, an eventual event. It's not like, you know, one of these days we're going to make it out there. We're going to overcome. We shall, what was that song they sang during the civil rights movement? We shall overcome someday. We shall overcome someday. But if you're in Christ, you've already overcome. And you continue to overcome. All right? And you continue to overcome your emotions. You continue to overcome your troubles. Well, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like this trouble just keeps coming. But the fact is that you are overcoming daily. You are daily overcoming, right? Amen. So that's what's really powerful about this. So let's take a look. I want to look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Well, I'll do the 1 John chapter 4. It says, you are of God and have overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right? So that's 1 John 4, 4. It's a very, very familiar verse of Scripture. You are of God because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You are of God and have overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now let's look at that for a second. And that chapter starts out in chapter 4 of 1 John. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the spirit is not of God. Come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard it should come. And even as now is already in the world. So the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, and this was a heresy back in the day, that Jesus just kind of was some kind of a spirity kind of person. He did not come in the flesh, in a body. And the Psalms tells us that Jesus Christ that talks to the Father and says, you have prepared for me a body. Is that Jesus was prepared a body to live in and to live for you on your behalf a sinless life, and then to be crucified and then to be raised from the dead so that you might receive life eternal by his payment for your sin. So here it finally says, is that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's that? The devil. That's the enemy. That's the one who brings up the Antichrist. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? And look over at chapter 5 in 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, that's you. Remember what Jesus said over in the 16th chapter back in the Gospel of John? He said that you're going to have troubles in the world, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. So you are in Him. Go to John 17. It says, you're in me, I'm in you. Y'all are in us, and you know, we're all one together, and you will not be disappointed. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. Now he's going to define it for you. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So even your faith. Your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Your faith is the victory. Well, you know, do I have victory because of that I see a particular situation has been knocked down and defeated? And you know, you don't judge it like that. You don't judge your victory by a circumstance going up or down. You judge victory by the faith that you walk in. Amen? So therefore, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you always are an overcomer. You're always a victor. You're always victorious. Amen? You go out onto the football field and you determine, I'm a victor, before you even hit the kickoff. Yeah, before you even do the first kick or the first bat, you know, you already have determined that you win. I'm always a winner. I'm 5'3", you know, and I'm 6'4", you know. I'm always a winner. You know, well, you can't add. The Bible said you can't add anything to your height by saying anything. Well, fine. You know, I can not from the outside, but from the inside. Amen? I'm not afraid of anything. Well, there's some things in Africa I might be afraid of. Danny wasn't sure when he went, you know. You just go in. You know, there's things around here. You know, walk in here, find a guy standing in the men's thing. You know, the teaching room right there. Hello. and who are you? Eric. Oh, Eric. Okay, it's good to meet you. This guy was very friendly. You know, and you find out, you know, apparently he's somehow found his way into the church, and he was, you know, who let you in? John, okay. Bound to have a John, right, in the church, you know. And he wasn't kidding, because the window that was open was in the John. I just thought of that one. Yeah, so. Praise the Lord. So that's who let him in. It was John. And so, but we locked that window, you know. Got David Borchert around. He knows how to lock all these windows. And so that was taken care of. But again, yeah, I mean, you run into all kinds of things that people, you know, people show up and people, you know. But don't be afraid of this world. You are an overcomer. Amen? Are you an overcomer? Say yes. Praise the Lord. You know. And it's not just a sermon, you know. It's actually you walk in these things. Because every day you've got to have joy. You know, there is something that the enemy always wants you to give you something to trip you up, something to make you depressed, something to make you low, something to take away your joy. Amen. You know, and we think, oh, well, Jesus got his joy taken away when they crucified him. No, he didn't. No, he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, now he did say in the garden there, he said, hey, God, if there's any way we can not do this, I'm in. Yeah, if there's any way we could skip this part, I would be for it. You'd have my vote. But nevertheless, don't take anything away. The word nevertheless, I like that word. It's a great word. Nevertheless. In other words, don't take anything away from it. Give it all. Let me have it all. So don't take anything from it. Is because that's what it's going to take to save my people, to love my people, to care for my people, you know. And you want to say that, you know, is that everything, Lord God, we thank you that you are empowering us by everything that we need. You know, Connie's sharing these things today, is that God has given us everything that we need to perform and perfect us and to perform the work of God in us. That's why we're here, right? I mean, that's why you're still breathing, right? Amen. Otherwise, take me home, right? You know. What's the point? What's the point of you being here? If you're already saved. But no, he wants you here so that he is using you to meet somebody else and say, hey, you know what? You're the person. You're the top of the list that God can use you to win that person, to win that person for Jesus. All right? So whatsoever, again, back in 1 John 5, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God, that's you, overcomes the world. Good. And this is the victory. This is it. Here it comes. That overcomes the world, even our faith. You know, how you access it. You know, I love the word access. You remember over in Romans chapter 5, he talks about access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access is good. Access is like having the key. Access is like getting in and having no restrictions. It's all access pass, you know. You got that lanyard on. You get in everywhere. Verse 5, who is he? Now let's nail this down. Who is he that overcomes the world? You want to think Jesus, right? No, read the verse. But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Yahoo! As Jim would say. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So whatever the world throws at you, now don't check to see if you got any bullet holes. You know, don't look at that. Thank him that you overcome the world because of faith, because of what he said. He promised it to you. He told it to you. So enjoy it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that's going to be your key verse here. That's going to be your key verse for overcoming, right? Is who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, over here in Revelation 17, now, Revelation 17 is talking about the horror of Babylon. Remember, I was talking about that a while ago, the horror of Babylon, and talking about how she looks, and she's on these seven hills. Upon her forehead was a name written. It's in verse 5, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And then we look down at verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. So this is all the folks who are hanging out with the beast and hanging out with the harlot. And it says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him, that's you and me, are called and chosen and faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. So all of these bad things, in other words, the bad things that we were reading about in the book of Revelation. Oh, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible. He says, here's the bottom line, is that they shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings, and they that are with him, so that's us, are called and chosen and faithful. Hallelujah. Now, we look over here. Now, what I want to take a look at is where the overcomers, you know, what they overcome. What they overcome unto. What do they show up with? Amen. Now, look over here at Revelation chapter 2 and 3. So Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Amen. So Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Now he's writing to the churches. Now we talked about this a minute ago, that the churches in this is the age of John's about 90 years old, and he's having this revelation, a vision that God gave to him, that Jesus is in the revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ in the end times, or in the last days. And of course, you know, we look at these, you can read through the book of Revelation, and again, you know, it's important for you to read it, because it says, happy are you. Happy are you. Really? Happy are you when you read it, hear it, and keep it. Read it, hear it, and keep it. Keep the words of this prophecy, right? Okay, but now he says, I want you to write to the seven angels of the seven churches. The angels are the pastors or the leaders, the leadership of the churches, all right? So he's writing, because otherwise why would you, it's kind of funny that you would write a letter to an angel, you know. So these are people. We're talking about people. So he's doing that, and he's writing to each one, and each one starts out, he says, I know your works. So works don't save you, but works are what? Works are the fruit of what of your salvation. Works are the fruit of what, you know, your salvation looks like. So he's reading this, so he's sending these letters to each one of them. He says, and he starts out with each one, says, I know your works. Say for instance, the verse first church is the church at Ephesus. These churches, I think I mentioned this in a previous message, is that if you see the your geography, Turkey looks like kind of an oval, and Turkey is over there in the Middle East, north of Israel, and it's a peninsula that sticks out, and is right across from Greece, and these churches are all in the west side. They're just all within a few miles of each other, really. So, I mean, it's not like this is all over the world. This is even closer than most churches here in DFW, is these churches are very close, you know. And so they have all these churches, the church at Ephesus and so on. And so he's talking to them, and he says, I know your works, verse 2 in chapter 2 of Revelation, and your labor and your patience, and how you could not bear with them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, despite all that, I have something against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Now, the candlestick is the fact that you're one of God's churches. You read that at the last verse of chapter 1. He said, "Is the seven stars of the seven spirits of God, or the angels of the churches, and then the candlesticks are the churches themselves, these seven churches that God is speaking to there in this book. And so he's talking to them and says, okay, you've done a lot of stuff good. He's commending them a lot of stuff, but then what he's saying is there's something you have left. You left your first love. So it's something he wants you to get your attention back on that, all right? Because I know your works. So your works are being judged by Jesus, because he wants you to draw near to him. All of these gifts, all of these problems are because we tend to get into the work of the church and we get away from our relationship with the Lord, right? I mean, that's what this is. Or your connection with the world becomes too close. And so all of these things that he's doing in these seven churches is he's basically chastising them, right? Over in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about if you're not a son, you're not chastised. But if you're a son, you'll be chastised. You'll be disciplined. You'll be discipled. And so that's what he's doing, is he's discipling these churches. Jesus himself is discipling these churches. So, except you repent. And then verse 6, but you have this, you do have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. That was a group of people who were believing a false doctrine. He that has an ear, let him hear, verse 7, what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, listen to this. To him that overcomes, we're talking about overcoming, right? Right? Yes. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So to him that overcometh. Now, what I want to look at is I want to look at these particular overcoming victories that belong to each member of the church, right? Because each church that he speaks to has an overcoming characteristic. And so here's what he's saying, is that to him that overcometh will I give, in this case, in the letter to the Ephesians, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, we'll continue to read these overcoming characteristics as we go in these seven churches, but these are all characteristics of every one of the churches. All characteristics of every one of you that God is providing to you, because overcomers are those who believe that who? That Jesus Christ, who is he that overcometh, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not somebody who did better work than other people, you know. The overcomers are the top overcomers. They're the better overcomers. They're the class A overcomers. No, these are the people who walk in the presence of the living God, who know that Jesus Christ is their salvation, is their power, that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their life to the death. This is you. Amen? So let's keep looking. And again, the angel of the church in Smyrna, verse 8, write these things, says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works. There he is again. He knows your works. He's right there with you. I know your works. Is it a criticism? No. He says, I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I'm walking with you. How many know God is walking with you? He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forget you. He doesn't forsake you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And again, there's a doctrine out there that says, the overcomer is a, you know, special class. You know, no, not a special class. The overcomer is you. If you walk in the fullness of what is provided for you, amen. Always walk in the fullness of it. Don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil steal from you. Right? Is that you are an overcomer. I'm overcoming all the time. You know, and again, it's not even a name. It's not even a, you know, like a title, right? It's recognizing that you are not under the foot of the devil. You know, because a lot of times, you know, we get the sense or the feeling that, you know, the world has overcome me. The world has not overcome you. That's a lie. The enemy loves to lie to you and say the world has overcome you. You've about had it. You've about had it. This is about it. You know, you're about to topple over the edge. Absolutely not. And let's encourage one another. Let's build up one another for these things. Amen? All right. Verse. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these, but as far as the entire letter to the churches, because I want to focus on the overcomer rewards and blessings. Verse 11 in Smyrna, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Another thing about that is that you want to be hearing. You want to be constantly having an ear to hear. Like we're reading in Isaiah, you know, having an ear to hear. God's word, his promise, the reading that the book that he gave you to read will teach you. The Holy Spirit teaches you as you read, as this gift has been given to you. So he that has an ear to hear, let him hear when the Lord disciplines and also when he says this. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. So if you'll go through these, saying, to him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Okay, the church of Pergamos. Again, I know your works. I know where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And you hold fast my name, and have not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, was slain among you, where Satan dwells. That's a pretty tough city, right? But I have a few things against you. So you guys have done well, but I'm going to talk to you. So the Lord is going to speak to you about whatever it is that holding you back, because anything that he's speaking to you about is what's holding you back from the fullness of overcoming. Because he ends each book with, each letter with, to the overcomer. To the overcomer. So he's wanting to write to you, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. But I also have a few things against you. This is again Pergamos, verse 14 of chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. Because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. So you got some people in here in your midst who are following after some odd doctrine that's not helpful. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, like the last church, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So Jesus will speak to you with the sword of his mouth. What comes out of his mouth? The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is it? To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows saving he that receives it. Now, what is the hidden manna? Who's the bread of life? Jesus. Who is the hidden manna? It's Jesus. And will give him a white stone, in which the new stone is the name written. Who's the rock? Jesus. He says, a new name written. A new name written. You have a new name, don't you? You have a new name, which no man knows except he that receives it. Okay, to the church in Thyatira. These things saith the Son of God, he who has eyes like a flame of fire. Now, earlier in the first chapter, John described his vision of Jesus having flames of fire in his eyes, and his feet like burnished brass. I know your work, your charity, your service, your faith, and your patience, and your works. Looks like a great church. And the first to be more than the last to be more than the first. However, or notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Because you permit that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants and to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So this is the circumstance in that particular church. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the children and churches will know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, and will give to every one of you according to your works. So in other words, you can have a great looking church, but you can have stuff in there. Huh. Amen. So search your heart. Search the heart. Pastors, search the hearts of the people. But to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, so most people don't. Most people didn't have the doctrine. And so there was a group of folks who had fallen into this and have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. So there's some folks that are doing more or less just fine. But that which you have already hold fast till I come. Now, verse 26, and he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. This is to he that overcomes. Each church has something that overcomes. What I'm going to ask you to do, I'm not going to try to get you to memorize it today, but go back in these two chapters and put down and write these down and meditate upon these things. These are the things that belong to the overcomers in walk with and enjoy and experience. Because you're an overcomer from the time that you believe in the Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay, over in chapter 3. And to the church that is in Sardis, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God. I know your works. And that you have a name, that you live and are dead. Huh. You have a name that you live. People have heard of you. They know of you as somebody who's alive. But actually you're dead. Whoa. So there's something missing. So Jesus wants to have something in you, but he sees that you're missing. And so he's desiring that you lean in and into his presence. That you live, you have a name, that you live and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Oh. I have found not your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, you have how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In the church of Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, that is true, that has the key of David. It's out of Isaiah chapter 22. That he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. And you have a little strength. You have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So you have the church in Philadelphia. You know, we look at that one as the this is the one he can't find anything wrong with. Well, but they have a little strength. You know, God's got more strength for you. You have a little strength, but God's got more strength for you. Find my verse. So I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and know that you that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation. What? Wow. Because you have kept the word of my patience, of perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation. So walking with the Lord also will keep you from the hour of temptation. That's what he's saying here. He says, so in other words, there is a temptation, an hour of tribulation, an hour of temptation. You know, we read about the tribulation that's going to come upon all the world. Yet, if you're walking with him, like he's talking about here, is that you will be delivered from a lot of the tribulation that's coming. So even though it appears to come upon the earth, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Walk with him closely. Walk with the Lord. And he is, you know, don't look at all the things. Well, boy, this tribulation is going to come. It's going to be bad. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in bad shape. Let's walk with him. Let's know that he is walking with us and he is preceding us with respect to walking through the temptation. If you're here, God will deliver you. Amen. Are some of you, will some maybe die in the tribulation? Maybe. But it's not going to be anything that's going to worry you. Amen. So I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, is verse 10 in chapter 3, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So this temptation comes on the what? On the all the world. Some folks have said, okay, it's not going to come on the United States, or it's not going to come here, or it's not going to come there. Well, he says it's going to come on the whole world. So there is a temptation that's going to come upon the whole world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Where do you dwell? I dwell in him. Them that dwell upon the earth. It's trying them that dwell upon the earth. That is those who are of the world. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. Hold that which you have. What is that? Is that your faith? What's the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He that overcomes, in verse 12, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And finally, to the church of Laodicea. That's the church that, you know, these churches were up there in the day that John was living. There are also church ages. These churches have predominantly reigned over periods of time from the time of John until our time today. Are we in the church of Laodicea? Absolutely. The church of Philadelphia was a major church in, say, about the 19th century, about a century and a half ago. Is that church was a major force for the gospel all over the world. The mission movement was a major, and Also, the walking in holiness, the holiness movement, was very big in the 19th century. Today, not so much. Some of the most wicked things of, that have happened over these years are happening in our day. Whether it has to do with pornography, whether it has to do with human trafficking, some of the worst stuff that's been going on today. And we're doing, and the church says, yeah, we're doing fine. We're doing good. Everything, you know, we're looking pretty good. Because he says to the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things says the Amen, the faithful, true and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. You neither. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, now what does lukewarm mean? Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't even know. You have no idea. Poor and blind and naked. So I will counsel you. Here's his chastisement. You can repent. Amen? I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So he's correcting your nakedness. He's correcting your blindness. He's correcting your poverty. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. There it is. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. No, I'm. What's that? What's that noise? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not giving up. He's not giving up on you. Amen? He's not giving up on this church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now here, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And finally, over in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 7, he says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You'll inherit all things, and he shall be my, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So, as we're hearing this today, first of all, to know that all of these things that these, all these seven churches have an overcoming aspect that's a reward to those of us as we hear the Word of God and hear the chastisement that comes from Him. His chastisement is not anger. His chastisement is to give you and to fill you up at the very best. Amen? Because we have so many opportunities in this world to hear, you know, what's happening in the world, and to be overwhelmed by it, and to be overcome by it. But what he's asking, he's inviting me to do, inviting all of these churches. He could have just gone and found seven other churches, right? He could have just found seven other churches. Let's get some good churches instead. No, because he loves me. He is chasing me down. He wants me to walk in the overcoming this world. Not, so many people, they're not overcoming in this world. They're being overcome by the world. Amen? So I invite you to read these promises, to meditate upon these promises here, especially in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But also to know that the revelation, it's a revelation that Jesus Christ, in Him, through faith in Him, you daily are an overcomer. Now, I don't want even overcomer, even though it's a predominant word today. I don't want it to be like, okay, well, here's the message and here's a new thing and here we're going to print it out and put it on a billboard at the side of a building. No, put it in your heart. I'm an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, and I love not my life to the death. Who is he that overcomes but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The overcomer is the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Simply that. Simply that. That's your qualification. Amen? That's my qualification. So I meditate upon that, and I know that He forgives my sin. He loves me. And every day I can't be defeated. Amen? Every day you can't be defeated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. I think you heard last week we had a good time in Africa. And it was a blessing. These guys were great. It was a really powerful thing. We enjoyed our fellowship. David and Danny and me and Kenneth, who is our prison minister. And we enjoyed our fellowship, and it's great. I mean, next we'll go again, another year or so. And if you'd like to go, we'd encourage you to think about that, pray about that, ask God about it. Amen. So God is good. He's having a good, he sends us places sometimes. Amen. Now, a lot of times we might get sent someplace right here. Go ahead and let the Lord send you. Go ahead and let Him send you. Amen? Praise the Lord. God sent Jim for a perfect time. And now He's sending you. Remember when Jesus left? He sent the disciples. Now He's sending you. Praise the Lord. So, here am I. Send me. I never took a group to Africa before. I had to figure out how to take a group, So sometimes you got to stretch yourself a little bit. I know Jackie's stretching herself a little bit. Amen. God is so good. All right, well, let's worship the Lord with our giving today. Father, we just love you.